Keep your attention on verse 42. Verse 42. See there, these are the words as they're translated in our Bibles. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. I think you could translate the phrase that I'm interested in this morning, you could translate something like this: and they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Okay. That's in our translation says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'll stop there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or they devoted themselves continually, if you will, they devoted themselves continually to the teaching. That's what the doctrine is, to the teaching of the apostles. The apostles. Remember, these men, the apostles, and they're named in Acts chapter 1. Before we ever hear this verse, they're named in verse 13 of Acts chapter 1. There they are: Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and so on. And they added to them Matthias. There were the 12 apostles. Okay. Remember that these men had been particularly chosen by Christ. They had been prepared by Christ, if you like. They had been trained by Christ. And he had commissioned them to a work. So these 12 apostles had a particular work given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he told them to do. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, can you see that? The Lord Jesus had given these men that job, and one of the great duties that he laid upon them was to teach all. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he promises to be with them. So, there they were, the 12 apostles. And I want to remind you that those who went and stuck to them and continued to listen to their teaching, they were doing that as a choice instead of going to the chief priests and the Levites and the Pharisees and the scribes. They had chosen for Christ and his apostles, and, if you like, turned their back on those who had been teachers in Israel. You know, there's a place in Matthew's Gospel, it's chapter 23, and I think it's verse 15, where in that chapter the Lord Jesus is rebuking the scribes and Pharisees, or he's warning the people against those men. And he says to them in that chapter, he says, they go out of their way to make disciples of one person. He says, when you've made a disciple of him, you make him a son of hell, literally a son of hell, like yourselves. I think it might be twice as much as a son of hell, like yourselves. But and that is what they turned from. They turned from being made children of hell by false teaching or corrupt teaching, awful things. And they'd chosen to go for Christ, to be made children of God and heirs of eternal life. So that's the choice they made. And, you know, this choice is before everyone. It's always been before everyone. There are umpteen false teachers out there who will make it. Some of you know them, don't you? When you meet these people, if you give them access to your home and you listen to them, they will make you twice as much a child of hell as they are themselves. And this is, if you like, a kind of warning. Don't listen to the others. Stick to Christ. Well, let's look at this for a moment. I want to ask the question this morning. We've just read that they devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' doctrine. And I want to ask the question, what was the apostles' doctrine? Is that fair enough? What was the teaching that they addicted themselves to? Well, first of all, it was, you may not be expecting, it was the Old Testament. It was the Old Testament. They referred to the Old Testament as the Scriptures. And sometimes today it's called by Jewish people particularly the Tanakh. That's the Torah, the law, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings or the Psalms. These Old Testament scriptures were, if you like, the staple diet of their teaching. The apostles, listen, the apostles taught the Old Testament as Christ had done before them. Okay. Do you remember what he said to them in Matthew 5:17? Don't think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I haven't come to destroy the law and the prophets. And Paul, who was also a late apostle, I'll call him a late apostle, Paul repeatedly told Timothy to go back to the Old Testament. Listen to this. Till I come, he says, give attention to reading. Well, what do you think he was expecting Timothy to read? He tells him, he says, but you must continue, listen, he says, you must continue in the things that you have learned from me and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and listen, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Okay, so the first thing is, they were teaching the Scriptures, which are able to make a man wise for salvation. If you look at the writings of the apostles, their letters, they're full of Old Testament quotes. It's all over the place. Matthew opens his gospel, and before you know it, he's quoting from the Old Testament, right at the beginning. So, the only thing is, now they understood it. Now they understood what they were reading. Paul writes about the Jews. He says, when Moses is read, there's a veil over the heart. They read it, but they don't understand it. If you ever listen to a synagogue service, if you know your Bibles, you'll recognize what they're reading. If you listen to what they say about it, you'll realize they don't understand it. It's tragic. They've missed the whole point. We'll come to that another time. But you know, there were men like the Ethiopian eunuch who was riding in his chariot with a scroll of Isaiah in front of him, reading it. And when Philip went near the chariot, he says to him, who is he talking about? Himself? Or some other man? Right? This is typical. They had the Old Testament, but now, the apostles had their understanding open. It says that in Luke chapter 24. The Lord Jesus opened their understanding to know what was in the Scriptures. So that's the first thing you'd notice if you had sat, if we could go back and sit and listen to the apostles, the first thing you'd notice is that their teaching was full of the Old Testament. Okay? But then, secondly, you would notice that they were giving to you the word of Christ and his teaching. You would realize that. Listen, for 3 years, these men had been with Christ. Right? He said to them, follow me. And they did. They followed him. Day after day after day, they followed Christ. They were with him on the hillsides of Galilee. Some of them were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They followed him through all the towns of Galilee and elsewhere. They went with him into the synagogues where he taught them from place to place. They followed him down to the temple. And we saw last week that they sat or stood in Solomon's portico with him. That's where he had been. Some of them, these disciples in particular, had followed him on the road and listened to him teach on the road, and they had been with him in the upper room. These men had accompanied the Lord Jesus for 3 years, and they had heard him teach. Teaching. He taught them daily. They heard the Sermon on the Mount. They heard his parables. They heard him disputing with the scribes and Pharisees and others. They'd seen the signs and wonders that he did, and he explained them. They'd been with him in the upper room. They had just been with him in the upper room at the supper. Now, listen, the crowds had heard some of this. And even the scribes and Pharisees had heard some of this. But these apostles had heard it all. They alone had had the privilege of sitting with Christ, walking with him, listening to him, all through those 3 years. And he had placed them in a unique position. And the early believers, these men, they clung to the apostles because that was the only place in the world where they could get this teaching. It was the only place. Yesterday we had a theology school and it wasn't recorded. And if you weren't there, you missed it. It's gone. You know, I found in my study, say this for the sake of the young people too, in this file, 3 rounds ago, in this file I've got some notes. There's the first set. That's July 1968. Well, I won't bore you with all of them. There was obviously a time when I didn't have a typewriter or a computer. That lot is from February 1975. Right? Now, that is a re-preaching of that. Okay. Now, I think I was there. I was taking notes. I heard it twice, right? And I know what's in there. And I think that I'm probably one of the only people alive now that knows what's in there. So if you want to know what's in there, you've got to ask me now. But that's exactly, and by the way, I mention it now because, you know, if you are sitting here as a young person listening to ministry, right, the day will come when I'm dead. And other preachers will be dead, and a lot of the older Christians around you won't be around. And if you haven't really learned well now, it'll be lost. You have lost the opportunity to really hear what you really need to hear. That's just reality. I think when you get older, and I sat for years under older men's ministry, which I valued. I would take notes while they preached. I would go home, I would write the notes out again. I would go over them. When I had a typewriter, clearly, I typed them out. Okay, I made sure that I got it. And actually, even if you tore those notes up or set fire to them, I still know what's in them, because it's in my heart and mind as well. But I encourage younger people particularly, you've got, maybe if the Lord spares your life, you've got a long life ahead of you. But some of the things you're learning here are foundational truths, and you need to keep them. You don't want to get to the point when I'm dead, your parents are dead, and then you're wondering, now what did he say? What did I learn? Okay, this is really important. Okay, so anyway, these people, coming back to the text, okay, these people stuck to the apostles because that's the only place they could get this teaching. Nowhere else. No technology, no internet, no tape recorders or CD players, nothing. They had to be there to hear it. All right? And the thing is, the apostles did not forget anything that Christ taught them. And the reason they didn't forget anything that Christ taught them was because he sent the Holy Spirit to remind them of what he taught them. There's a great promise in John 14. He says that he will send, let me turn to it, hold on. Look. But thus the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. That is so precious. Can you imagine, after the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, can you imagine the forgetful disciples? What an awful position to be in. Oh, I can imagine there's 12 of them sitting around a table. What, do you remember what he said that day? No, I don't. Do you? No, I don't. What a muddle. He gave them the Holy Spirit so that they would not forget what he had given them. And I say to you more. I said, first of all, they had the Old Testament. Secondly, they had the Word of Christ. There's one other thing. The Lord Jesus also gave the Holy Spirit to them so that they would have additional revelation. He says to them, listen, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears from Christ, he will speak. Listen, and he will tell you things to come. There were things the Lord Jesus said to them. He said, I have much to tell you. This is just before he left. I have much to tell you, but you can't receive it now. But the Holy Spirit will tell it to you when he comes. And because of that, we have, for example, we have the book of Revelation. The whole book of Revelation was added after Christ ascended. And we have chapters like Romans chapter 11, which maps out briefly the future for unbelieving Israel. And so we have it. This is what they stuck to. Okay? So what did they go for? They went for the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. Now, let's for a moment, very briefly, think a little bit more about what the apostles were saying. Very briefly. All of this, can be described as the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. The good news of Christ. The apostle Paul, who became an apostle late, he says this. He says, I delivered to you, to the Corinthians, first of all, in other words, these are the first things, the priority, the emphasis, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. Can you see what he's saying? He said, the core of my teaching is Christ, who died and was buried and rose again. He says to the same church, he says, I determine, now I know this can be misunderstood, I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that doesn't mean that he didn't teach anything else. What it means is that that was the character of his teaching. It was a Christ, Christological teaching, if you like. The Christ who died at Calvary was at the centre of the message. But, and Paul says to the Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God for salvation. Can you imagine the early church sticking to those apostles because what they were handling is the power of God for salvation, to bring men from hell to heaven. Remember what I said? The scribes and Pharisees were making men disciples. They weren't making them children of hell. They had gone to the wrong school and they were being taught the wrong things, and it was ruining their lives and sending them to hell. That was bad. But here with the apostles, you would, when you went to the apostles, you would hear the voice of Christ. You would hear the words of eternal life. Precious things at their feet. Precious things. Paul, in another place, he says to one church, he says, remember, he says, that I have taught you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. I take, that is an amazing statement. Paul had been with them for 3 years. He says, I've taught you the whole counsel of God. In other words, you have it all. You have it all. Jude appeals to the church. He says, contend, brothers, contend for the, what? For the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This was the apostles' doctrine. Paul says, I kept back nothing that was profitable. Now this is what I want you to understand. But those who repented on the day of Pentecost and were baptized, they were born again, they wanted Christ. That's who they wanted. Now they wanted the one that they had once rejected. And it's because of this that they became committed disciples. Can you remember those words? They became committed disciples. Because they desired to hear of and the one that saved them. They wanted Christ. Do you know what the word disciple means, don't you? What does the word disciple mean? In Greek and Hebrew, it means a learner. A learner. Mathetes, Talmid, a learner. They were there to learn. And what they received on one day was not enough for them. They came back the next day. And so this is the situation. The apostles were teaching, teaching, teaching. And the disciples were learning, learning, learning. And they didn't learn everything all at once. It was a lifetime. What we would say is a lifetime in the school of Christ. A lifetime in the school of Christ. The apostles were doing exactly what Christ told them to do. Make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, teaching them, teaching them. And it went on, you know, Paul says to Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, all the twos, he says to them, commit to others. Commit it to others. Timothy, find faithful men and pass it on. Pass it on. To the Thessalonians, listen to what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says this, therefore, brethren, listen, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word, when I visited and preached, whether by word or by epistle. But what does he want them to do? Stand fast and hold the tradition. The tradition simply means the teaching. What I've passed on to you, hold it fast. Continue in it. So, I'm sure if you've been listening, you can't have missed the point. They were addicts. But they were addicted to Christ. And they were addicted to the word of Christ. And the teaching that he gave his apostles to give to them. That's what a Christian is like, or should be like. It's a kind of, it's one of the litmus tests. Do you know what a litmus test is? It tells you what's inside. It's the litmus test of a true Christian, and a litmus test of a healthy church. That they are committed to learn from the scriptures what the Lord has given them. Okay? The appetite, your appetite for the teaching and the Bible and the preaching, that tells a lot about you as a Christian. Do you notice later in this chapter it says they continued daily. Daily. You understand their behavior, don't you? They didn't pop in to see the apostles once a month. They weren't there occasionally. You know, I'll see you, well, maybe next week, maybe we go, well, I'll see you sometime. That's not what their behavior was like at all. When the apostles were teaching, There they were. And I ask a question. How can a believer not have an appetite for Jesus Christ? How can that be? What has happened? What has happened when someone says, I'm a Christian? But whether they hear the word of God read or the sermons of Christ preached, he is neither here nor there to them. What do you think about someone who claims to be a Christian but treats the voice of Christ as an unimportant thing? What does he say? He says, my sheep hear my voice. And is that it? No. And they follow me. And they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Think about Abraham for a minute. Jesus says about Abraham, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. From two millennia before, Abraham is looking forward and rejoicing that Christ is coming. David, King David says, I foresaw the Lord always. I kept the Lord always before my face. You know, men of faith in the past have hungered and thirsted for Christ and his word. Abraham is an example. David is an example. And I want to ask this congregation about your desire to be under the teaching of the apostles. Does it matter to you? How precious is it to you? I was thinking this week, I thought, if I put out a notice around the estate, right, offering either a bar of gold, I don't know how much gold weighs, but simply a bar of gold, or a string of pearls or rubies, to the first 10 people who arrived at church next Sunday morning, what do you think would happen? Well, I would expect a bit of a stampede. Wouldn't you? What does the Bible say about this? Far more precious than rubies. Far more precious than silver and gold. The words of Christ are eternal life. Eternal life is more precious. But look, Christ himself is more precious than gold and rubies. When the word of Christ is being taught, when the Bible is being opened, when the Holy Spirit is working, he works with the word, it is like being in the upper room. It's the nearest you will get to the upper room, this side of Christ's return. It's the nearest you get to the presence of heaven until we are brought there, body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So here we are, the early church, they were cut to the heart because of their sins, and they were affected by, for the rest of their lives, they were affected, and they became those who were utterly addicted to receiving the teaching of the apostles, the word of Christ. So may the Lord give us the same addiction, the same hunger and thirst, the same ear to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.